Anyway, I think we should make a start with our call. It's 4 minutes past, so I've circulated an agenda for the call and haven't heard any requirements for additions or changes, so we'll go with the agenda. We've got six items in front of us today, and I think this could be, for us, a reasonably expedient call as it's just finishing off the consent document and hopefully just agreeing a fairly straightforward progress report. So if we do get a chance at the end of the call with spare time, Bernie's been working pretty hard on the significantly interested parties paper, so we might get a chance to have a quick high-level look at that. If everyone's happy, it's not a paper that's been circulated and we wouldn't count it as a first reading, but just as a look to get a feeling for the main thrust of that paper, if we get the chance. However, can we please list those present and those apologies received, Christina?
Yes. So on the call today from the CCNSO, we have Martin Boyle, Becky Burr, Keith Davidson, Christy Spain, Stephen Deerhawk, Eberhard Lischer, Paulus Miranda, Patricia Pobletta, Nigel Roberts, and Dottie Sparks de Blanc. And from staff support and special advisors, we have Jap Ackerhuis, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernard Turcotte. Apologies from Ugo Akiri, Bart Bosinkel, and Cherry Langdon Orr.
Are there any further apologies? Is there anyone else on the call whose name wasn't called? I will accept that as the list of those present and apologies.
Hi, everyone. It's Catherine Reynolds calling. Sorry I'm late.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Hi.
Just in time to have your name listed amongst those present.
Good. I planned it perfectly.
You did indeed. Thank you. Okay, moving to item two on the agenda, we have two meeting reports. There was the meeting from the 11th of August. We had a slight amendment to that report. And then the 1st of September meeting report. Bernie, do you want to just take us through the slight amendment and then the report for the last meeting?
Okay, I believe the problem was the date, if I remember correctly. That was six. And that's it.
Okay. Can we put up the 1st of September meeting report then? Is everyone happy that the 11th August meeting report is now correct? No dissent. Okay, so can we have a look at the 1st of September meeting report? That's also been on the list. Is there any issues or problems with that report? And Bernie, is there anything specific that we had to attend to?
Nope.
Okay. So is everyone in favour of accepting that report for the 1st of September meeting? I'll take silence as assent. Okay, thank you all. Moving on to item three on the agenda, the consent document. We've tossed this document around in a couple of forms, and I think we've got sorry, who was that?
Sorry about that. I forgot to mute my phone. I was saying good morning.
Okay, the consent document, we've been through a couple of iterations of it and it's substantially reformed, and at our last meeting we made substantial progress with a few redlined areas for us to attend to, and I think Bernie's achieved some harmonisation through the list and discussions. So, Bernie, do you want to just walk us through the red line pieces?
Sure. Glad to.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yes.
Okay. That doesn't look like a red line to me. Okay, that's unfortunate that it doesn't look like we've got the changes listed. No, so that's not a good version of the document. I'll pull up the changed version here and walk
you. You sent it out, didn't you, Bernie?
Yes, I did, but it's not on the Adobe.
Consent, but I'm just going to try and find it.
Okay. Consent 3.2 red line. Okay. All right, so the first change.
Okay.
Who's, okay, thank you. The change we have is in 6.1.2.1, which I will bring up here. The change was posted on the list and now reads, for further clarity of what a party is being asked to agree to in a redelegation, comma, IANA should clearly indicate that it will undertake all steps necessary to transfer the incumbent manager's role as trustee for the CCTLD, comma, as the term is used in RFC 1591, to the proposed manager, comma, including without limitation, comma, changing the entry in the IANA database, period. Thank you, Becky and Nigel. We don't have the official red line. I'll stop here and I'll ask if there are any comments.
So what am I looking at on Adobe, the old one?
6.1.2.1.
Yeah, that's, so I'm looking at the previous clause?
Yes. Yeah, you're looking at how it was originally formed.
Right.
Eberhardt has a...
No, the text is the change, the accepted changes.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. I'm a bit worried this is an old version.
I think this is...
Oh, no, I see what happened. It didn't... it's got both in there. And
right. It doesn't show up as a red line.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's actually really hard to read.
Yes, I wouldn't read what's on Adobe right now.
Are we able to put something up that we can read?
Let me see what we've got in documents.
Okay, and while you're having a look, Bernie, Eberhardt has his hand raised. Eberhardt.
Okay, I'm apparently unmuted now. I am not willing to discuss anything that I cannot read properly, so please provide us with the documents that are the latest and
you do have. You do have them, Eberhardt. They were sent out.
I'm just saying, I had my hand up before you, and I just wanted to state the same thing. I cannot work on a document which is not properly readable.
We don't have the redline version on Adobe Connect right now. Christina, if I send it to you, is it easy for you to...
I can upload it.
Pardon me?
I can upload it if you send it to me, sure.
Okay. Do that, and maybe we can move to the progress report, and within a couple of minutes, then I think we should be able to.
Good idea.
Okay. So the suggestion is that we'll move to the progress report and come back to the consent document in a few minutes. Is everyone comfortable with that? And this is... Benny, are you able to walk us through this document? Or
The progress report, yes. Just give me a second to email stuff to Christina, and I will be right with you.
Okay.
progress report.
And there we go. Just making sure it gets out of my email box. Christina, there are 3.1 and 3.2 red lines.
Yes,
moving on to the progress report, we've tried to use the KISS principle, and as you will see, basically, we've tried to pack everything into 2.25 pages. So we'll just read it section by section, as is our usual habit. This is presuming we get through the consent document. This is the progress report on introduction. This is the progress report on the activities of the CCNSO GAC Framework of Interpretation Working Group since the Singapore meeting. Since the Singapore meeting, the FOI Working Group has met regularly. X meetings to be filled in. Becky Burr has been appointed vice chair. Notes of these meetings can be found at the site. Any questions? Okay, hearing none. Next section is charter. The FOI Working Group Charter is updated to confirm the participation of the GAC. Revised version of the charter can be found at current work plan. The FOI Working Group identified the following topics, which will be considered individually and in the order presenting. Presented, obtaining and documenting consent, and documenting support for delegation and redelegation requests from SIP, developing recommendations on unconsented redelegation, developing a comprehensive glossary of terms used for the delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs, and finally, developing recommendations for IANA reports on delegations and redelegations. Any thoughts or questions on these? Hearing none, current status, terminology. The original project plan started with documenting the terminology topic. The objective was to develop a comprehensive glossary of terms used in the context of delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs. During its work on this topic, it became apparent to the working group that it would be more effective all glossary in parallel with this other work. As a result, the terminology topic has been moved to the end of the FOI working group schedule and the project plan adjusted accordingly.
Ooh.
Anything on terminology? Okay, I thought I heard something, but I guess not. Okay. Consent. The next topic to be considered by the working group was consent. The objective was to develop guidelines as to how IANA should obtain and document consent from the proposed manager for a CCTLD delegation and from the proposed and incumbent managers in a redelegation. The working group completed its initial work on the consent topic in September, and these initial results are currently the subject of a public consultation which can be found at, to be filled in later. The working group will consider the results of the public consultation by the end of the year and should be in a position to propose its final recommendations on this topic by the next ICANN meeting. This is, of course, assuming that we finish the consent document and that we prepare it for a public consultation. Yes, L.
Eberhard, unmute. Eberhard, we still can't hear you.
Me? Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I propose that we change the words by the next ICANN meeting by the ICANN meeting in Dhaka, Toronto, or wherever it is, so that we know exactly what we mean.
Okay. By the Dhaka ICANN meeting. So I think that sounds quite reasonable.
No, it's the one after that. That was because the public consultation, if you hold it, will not be over.
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. Some ways it might be better to refer to the date. Is it a March 2012 ICANN meeting?
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is I would like it the meetings referred to by name, so to say, so that that is unequivocal, that we know what we're talking about. Because the next ICANN meeting, it doesn't tell me exactly what we mean.
Agreed, and a change will be made.
We will adjust that. Any other thoughts or questions? Seeing none, hearing none, moving on. Valid manager, administrative contact, technical contact. The results of the consent topic, which recommended that only the proposed manager approve the delegation of a CCTLD and that only the incumbent and proposed managers approve a redelegation, have removed the need for the valid manager admin and contact and technical contact topic. Given this topic was scheduled to run in parallel with the consent topic, there is no change required to the project plan beyond simply removing it. Any questions on this?
Appear to be. Carry on, Bernie.
None. Significantly interested parties. The working group began its work on the topic of significant parties. The objective is to develop guidelines as to how IANA should obtain and document support for delegation and redelegation from significantly interested parties as defined in RFC 21. It is expected that the FOI working group will complete its initial work on this topic and have the results of the public consultation on its recommendations for the June 2012 ICANN meeting as per the published schedule. Thoughts or questions on this? And just as an update, we're very close to having the first full draft of the significantly interested parties paper out to you. I would be end of this week or very early next week. Questions?
Nope.
Activities in Dakar. The working group will be holding the following activities while at the Dakar ICANN meeting: presentation of the working group progress report to the CCNSO and GAC working group meeting on 27 October. Participants are reminded that the meetings of the FOI working group are always open to the public as observers. Over to you, sir.
Okay, I think the progress report's fairly self-explanatory and fairly non-controversial, but is everyone quite comfortable that this reflects where we'll be by the time we get to Dakar? And is there any need for a second reading, or should we put it on the list and suggest that this will be our final report unless there's anyone who's not on this call raises an issue on the list? Okay, that'll be our process, I think. Okay, thank you all for that, and can we move back now to the consent document? And Bernie?
I'm desperately trying to see if we've got a redlined version here.
Bernie, this is Christina. I didn't upload anything yet.
Ah, okay. Did you get the file?
I got them, but I can't upload them if you're working another document, so I have to do it now.
Okay, I'm out. I'm not touching anything. It's all up to you.
Okay.
3.2 for now, please.
Okay.
So we will let Christina work her magic for a second here. Ah, there we go. Upload in progress. Hopefully this one will work.
All yours.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oops.
And no, it's nope, just...
That's doing exactly the same thing. It's not showing the red line.
Not showing the red line. Okay. Let me see if I can pound this out as a PDF.
Well, the other alternative is just to put up the new version.
Yep. Christina?
Yes.
This will probably be shorter. Can you open it in Word, accept all changes, and put that up quickly?
The RTF file?
Yeah, open it up in Word.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Just right-click and open it in Word.
Okay, I have an opening Word, and I can't see any red line.
612.
Ah, okay. I see it now.
Just accept all changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, looks like there it is. Is that the right one, Bernie?
Yes, that is the correct text. I've also, Christina, I've sent you a PDF version. When you get that, you can try and put that up. That should show the red line, but it's pretty much a rewrite, so we're probably better looking at this from here.
Okay.
The two changes are in 6121 and 61211. So let's read it. And those are the only changes in the document. For further clarity of what a party is being asked to agree to in a redelegation, IANA should clearly indicate that it will undertake all steps necessary to transfer the incumbent manager's role as trustees for the CCTLD. That should be trustee. There's an S too much there. As the term is used in RFC 1591, to the proposed manager, including, without limitation, changing the entry in the IANA database.
Single full stop.
Yeah.
Okay, and Christina's asking when you want the PDF loaded, Bernie. She can't upload it without interrupting.
Okay, if she's got it, maybe she can upload it now. I think we'll see the red line in that.
Okay, go for it.
There we go. Yay.
Right. So can we remember this for the future?
Yes, let's not do this again. I agree. All right. So the words are exactly the same as we read a minute ago. Are there any questions on 6121?
Well done, Nigel and Becky. That's what I say.
Yes, no, I agree. Well thought it out.
Not seeing or hearing anything. We'll move on to the next one. 6107.
Just noting that one change, that very small change of trustees to trustee.
Yes, as I noted earlier.
Obviously.
There's also a comma missing after delegation, I believe, but it's really minor punctuation and spelling. 61211, note, in RFC 1591, comma, the term, quote, trustee, end quote, is used to describe the manager's duty to serve the community, comma, and not to describe the specific legal relationship of the manager to the delegated domain, full stop. Questions? Seeing none, hearing none, I believe those are the only changes in the document. And if we remember correctly, there was a 3.1 where we removed reference to valid manager and its consideration. So that was removed as a question in Section 5, and that was removed as a recommendation in Section 6. And that's about it for me, sir. Over to you.
Okay, so is everyone now comfortable with the version 3.2 then to go forward as a published document for this working group? I think we've given it sufficient review, so let's consider it adopted and move ahead with that. Okay, our next item of business is to look at our schedule of meetings from now to Senegal and at Senegal. And there is a little timetable schedule in my agenda. So the next meeting of the working group would be on the 6th of October at 2100 UTC. Then the 13th of October at 0500 UTC, and that would allow us potentially to get through significantly interested parties paper. And then at ICANN Senegal itself, we have Sunday the 23rd in the afternoon for a one-hour session, and that's really just a review of what we're presenting and reporting to ICANN Senegal, both the CCNSO and the GAC sessions. And then Thursday the 27th at Senegal, a three-hour meeting, that will be a normal working group meeting as in looking through text. So has everyone got that comfortably accommodated in their diary? That would be great. And Christina, I must work with you and Gabby on doing a poll over the next week or so, week or two, on the day of the week this working group should meet. So we'll do some sort of doodle poll or something so that we can, while we're in Senegal, set the schedule for the next round of meetings.
Sure, just send us a note.
Okay, great. Okay, and so it appears that we're 30 minutes into our call and we've reached the end of the business of the call. Would people like to spend 30 minutes having a high-level look at the significantly interested party document or the methodology that we've applied in assessing it? Martin's saying no. Or at least giving me a thumbs down. This is not, Martin, this is not an attempt to do a first reading of the paper, but more a high-level principles look at it so that you know what you're getting when you get it in the next couple of days. It's not changing his mind from a thumbs down. Oh, maybe it did. I'm not.
So what are you actually suggesting, Keith, that we just?
I think it's a very brief document. It's about 6 or 7 pages, and I thought if
a walkthrough.
Yeah, a very quick walkthrough, sort of looking at it, not in detail or reading the text, but just at a principles level, what the paper's seeking to do and achieve, so that we have clarity about that. And then next week, get into the actual text.
I'm with me.
Is that okay? I guess Christina doesn't have a copy of that document to mount in Adobe. Bernie, are you comfortable talking about it, or would you like to arrange with Christina to put that document up and we'll have a quick look?
I can send it to her, and it'll take a second. So give me a second here, and we'll get this out the door.
Yep. Who'd like to sing us a song in the interim? Chris, is it your turn?
My turn to do what?
Sing us a song.
We could discuss rugby.
We could. Well done, Namibia.
On a tangential rugby point, I was in Los Angeles at the ICANN Boards thing, and was given a couple of rugby shirts to pass to Larry Strickling, who's the U.S. Deputy Secretary of State for the Department of Commerce, and had this vision of me sitting in a hotel in Washington passing him a brown paper bag.
That's normal practice with our
company. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As it were. So I decided to make it a rather large white carry bag so that it was obviously not an issue.
I just learned that Chris was right. There were two records broken. Havana scored the most tries, and Namibia became the team with the longest uninterrupted streak of defeats, 14 in a row.
Wow, that's impressive stuff.
If I understand
it. I think three of our members actually resigned their jobs to be able to go to New Zealand.
Yeah.
Excellent. I hope the rugby jersey you were handing to Larry Strickling was in fact an All Black.
There was an All Black and a Springbok.
Ah.
So one of each. To give you an idea where they came from.
Yeah, okay. An ICANN board member from either New Zealand. There aren't any more. Oh, one from South Africa. Ah.
Yeah.
But Larry Strickling is an All Black fan, of course.
Yes, indeed, and I think he was quite pleased with the parcel. Although he would, of course, be paying for them because he was allowed to accept them as a gift.
Oh, of course.
So that's been sent, so I guess Christina should get it in the next minute and put it up. So one or two more minutes of rugby talk, and we're on our way.
How are the Canadians doing?
As usual, we just don't want to take those records away from the Namibians. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in our sweepstakes,
because you're so polite.
In our sweepstake, we run a sweepstake in the office, so you pick the score game by game, and you get a variance from the difference between your score and the actual scores on each game. And so far, Debbie Monahan is clearly the leader by about 100 points in terms of overall variance on the game, which is quite frightening, really.
The goddess rule?
She does. I think she's got inside knowledge somehow. But she might have fallen apart on tonight's game. Yes, she did. She had 48-7 to South Africa.
Who are they playing?
Namibia, and they won 87-0.
Oh, sorry, you're talking about the one that's just happened. Sorry. Yes.
I will say in defense of Canadians, you want to play this game on a field covered with ice, we're your men.
Yeah, and you can as long as it's been swept by a Zamboni.
Look, when I was a lad in the South Island of New Zealand, we used to play rugby in the snow and ice. Used to be quite interesting because until you were 8 or 9 years old, you had to play in bare feet as well. So breaking ice-covered puddles with bare feet was never a lot of fun.
Well, that explains a lot about you, Keith. Okay, we're loaded and ready to go, gentlemen.
Okay. Let's
make you an honorary Canadian, by the way.
Let's spend about 20 minutes having a high-level review, and I think if there are any important questions, ask them. But let's not be too concerned about the line-by-line text. Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. So as stated, the final edits are going in. They'll be delivered at the beginning of next week, giving ample time for everyone to chew on it before our next meeting. Also, a note while we're talking about our next meeting, we hope to have the draft public consultation document ready for review ahead of time, delivered in your email boxes, and hopefully we will have a chance to go through that at that meeting also. Thank you. Moving on, the basis of the interested parties document is from the work of the DRD, of course. The main statement on this from the DRD final report is analysis of all approved delegation and redelegation requests published by ICANN indicates a significant degree of inconsistency in applying the interested parties requirement. This includes the approval of a number of delegation and redelegation requests which have no documentation indicating any support by interested parties. So basically, we're trying to deal with that in the context of RFC 1591, and we'll get to that in a sec. The objectives, we're getting into our groove here, identify applicable policies and procedure statements, analyze all past cases of redelegation versus interested parties and identify issues versus policies and procedures, identify and analyze any issues arising, and develop recommendations. So that's fairly straightforward. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. The policy statements. Of course, there is RFC 1591, Section 3.4. Significantly interested parties in the domain should agree that the designated manager is the appropriate party. The IANA tries to have any conflicting parties reach agreement amongst themselves and generally takes no actions to change things unless all the contending parties agree. Only in cases where the designated manager has substantially misbehaved would IANA step in. However, it's also appropriate for interested parties to have some voice in selecting a designated manager. So clearly we have the reference to significantly interested parties. Part of the problems, which are recurrent...
Sorry, just to interrupt, Nigel has a question at this point. Nigel.
Yes, sir, Nigel.
Yeah, it just takes me a little time to unmute. I was quite happy to wait for you to finish, actually. I was just going to make a point that this seems to be the key point to everything we're doing. And the IANA would only step in cases where there's been substantial misbehavior, which I think we have to sort of go on and look into what that might mean.
And I believe we're going to deal with that in unconsented redelegations. At this point, we're only trying to deal with the significantly interested parties point.
Agreed.
Okay.
Okay, and Eberhard also has a hand raised. Eberhard.
There's a typing error. Takes no action to change things that should be plural.
I believe this is straight cut and paste from 1591L. So as we've noted in the past, there are several spelling mistakes in RFC 1591, and we just carry them over.
I would suggest if there are typing mistakes that we mark them as such, like
we can do that.
Scientific work.
Okay, we'll be glad to. Any other questions? Nigel and Elle still have your hands up, so.
Not anymore.
Elle now.
Carry on, Benny.
All right. So I've taken note of that point, Elle. Thank you. Issues. These are recurring under this topic. There's no documentation specifying who should be included in the significantly interested parties or how to determine this. There's no documentation as to how these parties should be contacted or how they should agree that the designated manager is the appropriate party. And there's no documentation as to how to evaluate the input to see if it meets the requirements. So it's one of those general things. We have another segment in RFC 1591 which deals with this.
Actually, just before you get to that, Benny, there's a number of hands raised, but looking at 1591, it does say things with an S.
That copy, I will fix that.
I think Eberhard had his hand up, but has removed it, but Nigel and Stephen had their hands raised. So, Nigel.
Hang on, I'm just being distracted by what Becky's typing. Yes, the thing that we've got here where you say there's no documentation saying who's the significant, I think it would be worthwhile exploring a little bit, perhaps with our GAC colleagues who are on the call or in the group working group, the principle that in today's world the relevant public authority is a very significantly interested party. And how to deal with that.
Yep,
it's worth us marking that because there's no point pretending it doesn't exist and there's no point pretending we don't have a GAC. So it's actually worth looking into that relationship in a bit more detail.
Yep, you're predicting what's included further down in the document too, Nigel.
I am as well because I confirm I haven't seen this before.
No, well, nobody has, I think, other than Bernie and myself. So
you underestimate my resources.
Okay, you're intercepting my IT traffic. And Stephen also has his hand raised. Stephen.
Yeah, my quick question was, given that there's no documentation, obviously there's been some behavior along these lines from the IANA in the past, and I was just wondering if oral interviews of, you know, what's gone on in the past when they've been looking for interested parties and so on. I'm just kind of curious if it would be possible or even worthwhile to develop a broad outline of what they've done in the past in terms of defining who significantly interested parties are and how they determined it.
Okay, again, you're predicting what's happening later in the paper too, so hold on to your seat and let Benny work it further through the document.
Okay, I'll get the popcorn going then.
Okay, so Nigel and Stephen's hands are now down, I assume, or they're putting them down, carry on, Benny.
All right, in Section 3.6, which is the transfer/redelegation section of RFC 1591, it's also very helpful for IANA to receive communications from other parties that may be concerned or affected by the transfer. We're interpreting that to be pretty much the same thing as significantly interested parties referred in the previous section, and it's got the same issues. We do have some info in the GAC Principles 2005 under 7.1. Principle. Delegation and redelegation is a national issue and should be resolved nationally and in accordance with national laws, taking into account the views of all local stakeholders and the rights of existing CCTLD registry managers, etc. It goes on, but the key point was local stakeholders, and if you translate local stakeholders to significantly interested parties, which we're proposing to do later in the paper, which seems to make sense, it's got all the same issues. In 3.3, we're looking at the IANA procedures that are relevant to those policies.
Just a moment, Benny. Everhap has his hand raised.
I looked, and it wasn't there a second ago. Sorry.
Yeah, I was a nanosecond after, and then Becky has her hand raised. So, firstly, Everhap.
Okay. Rights of the existing CCTLD registry. Should we not also mention that there is no documentation under what law this means? Because I am starting to become quite concerned under what laws ICANN is supposed to operate.
Again, I think we're going to deal with that under unconsented redelegation. Right here, we're just trying to zero in on interested parties and stakeholders. So it happens that we will come back to that statement under unconsented redelegation, but we're not trying to deal with that one here.
No, it's just purely noting that this is the GAC's interpretation of existing policies. Okay, Becky has taken her hand down, so please continue, Bernie.
Thank you. So we were at IANA procedures. There's really only one, which is the standard understanding CCTLD delegation redelegation procedures. The following are relevant sections. Those parties served by the CCTLD are asked to show that they support the request and that it meets the interests and needs of the local internet community. From the section titled Submitting the Request, information showing the change serves the local interest in the country. And in section 2, documentation showing that the request serves the local interest. Crucial to the request are statements of support from the local internet community. This documentation should provide information demonstrating that the request would be in the interest of the internet community served by the CCTLD. Good examples of this, I'm not going to read the details, so I'll let you do that, but I think we all know what those words say. The next one is government contact. In this short section, the applicant should provide documentation indicating that any appropriate government officials have been informed about the request. A statement of support from the relevant government department or agency is effective in meeting this requirement. Some of our issues that are listed here. Nigel has his hand up. I caught it.
Hi. Yeah, I have no problem. Can you scroll back a couple of paragraphs, please?
Sure.
I have no problem with exploring and examining these 3.3.3 and 3.3.4. I'm a little concerned, however, again, that the status of this document is not made clear. It's reading to me as if we're quoting from policy, when in fact it's simply an explanatory document where the IANA explains what they're actually doing. Now, I know it's a subtle point, but I'd like in a future version to see that the status of that document made clear.
And I see Kim has a thumb raised on that, so we'll take that as a useful verification of that concept. So amending 3.3 itself to explain the status of that document would seem to be quite reasonable. So we'll note that.
We'll be glad to do so. So basically some of the issues, although RFC 1591 mentions significantly interested parties and the GAC principles mention stakeholders, there's no mention of those terms here, really. Instead, there are those parties served by the CCTLD, the local internet community, and the government contacts. So it'd be fun to line up the terminology so they match up. Of course, in the procedure that's presented, IANA asked the applicant in a delegation or a redelegation to supply the documentation of support from the community, and we see that as potentially being a bit of a conflict of interest. There is no documentation as to how to evaluate SIP support meets the requirement. By SIP, of course, we mean a significantly interested party. The relationship between serving the local interest and obtaining support for delegation or redelegation is unclear, and the relevant government or PubLoc authority participation in delegation or redelegation should be clarified. I think the note is probably interesting here and worth reading. IANA has confirmed it has no references as to who should be included as an interested party or how to evaluate the input received meets the requirements as documented in RFC 1591 or the GAC Principles 2005. Once IANA is satisfied that there is no additional input that will be provided by the applicant regarding SIP support for the request, it will consider the information gathering for this requirement complete. The ICANN board, which has no published criteria for evaluating this input, will consider the SIP input when reviewing the request for approval. So I had a chat with Kim about this, and I think this sort of fits in nicely with some of the board minutes regarding qualifying SIP for approval or not. So I think what we're seeing emerge here is that IANA really has no tools to evaluate who or if what is supplied is adequate. And simply the only call IANA is really making here is there any more information coming in? No? Okay. Then that's checked off, and the information that's available is passed on to the board, which is asked to make a judgment. And on the board side, what we know is there's no published information, at least, as to how to evaluate the information that is provided. And as we've seen in the DRD work, quoting the board minutes, there's obviously a number of directors that are uncomfortable with the fact that there is no evaluation criteria for them either. Kim.
Hey. Yeah, I just wanted to expound on that just a little. I think what Bernie said is correct in that effectively the value judgment as to what role the SIP input will play in their evaluation is kind of deferred to the board. That said, I think there is one element of it that's not captured here, which is that, you know, we use the documentation we receive from the internet community as sort of a confirmation of all the other facts that are presented during the application. And if we receive information that doesn't conform to other things we've either received or we know based on you know, other input we've received, either directly or indirectly, then that's a cause for further investigation. So I guess what I wanted to say is that it's a useful way of either confirming what we already know through third parties, or alternatively, we can identify inconsistencies in the proposal, which then triggers us to do further investigations. So having other parties explain their point of view is actually useful for that.
Thanks, Kim. Benny.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, Kim. That was a helpful context point. All right, moving on to four, analysis of IANA reports on redelegation. Standard classification, documented, implied, not addressed, noted. And if we have a look at the results, we split it up by government and others, as IANA reports on redelegation tend to do. And we see that documented, we have government 70%, others 22%, implied 2% and 6%. Not addressed, basically doesn't happen with government, but happens in about a third of the cases. For others, and noted 28 and 40. Issues, the fact that 30% of redelegations are approved without IANA reports documenting any support for non-government SIPs is of concern. For IANA reports where no information is given on support from non-governmental SIPs, information is rarely provided explaining or commenting on this absence. Thoughts, questions? So basically we're trying to position the analysis of the IANA reports on redelegation relative to what we see in some of the policy requirements. I don't see any hands. I don't hear any questions, so we'll just keep moving on.
Let's skim through pretty quickly. I'd like to wrap the call up inside 5 or 10 minutes if we can. So.
Yeah, I think that's very doable. We'll just run through some of the issues. 5.1, the number of terms we'd like to standardize on significantly interested parties. There's no documentation as to who can be considered in the SIP. The examples provided in the IANA procedures do not provide a definition. Relevant government or public authority roles in delegation and redelegation should be clarified. Having the applicant for a delegation or redelegation provide the documentation for SIP support allows for conflict of interest. There's no documentation as to how SIP input for requests will be evaluated. And there's no requirement for IANA reports to clearly document and explain SIP support for a request. So basically, we've tried to capture the main elements which we're trying to deal with. And once you get to the recommendations, the structure is fairly similar to what we had in the consent report. 6.1, undertake the steps necessary to implement the following interpretations of policies. And then we go to 6.2. Where we say pretty much the same thing as in consent. IANA should report to GAC and CCNSO at each IGAN meeting on the plan and progress report. Should they choose not to comply, they should tell the world, and any changes to these guidelines should be the subject of a public consultation. Just as a quick peek to the guidelines, recommending to use the term significantly interested parties. There's a definition of significantly interested parties, which we've beaten up between various people, which is an evolution from the terminology work. I would ask everyone to pay close attention to that, and once the final draft is out for consultation early next week, will certainly be the subject of an email discussion. The role of the relevant government, again, pretty much another thing that everyone's going to have to pay attention to, will be the subject of an email discussion. The big change is we're saying there should be some type of a version of a public consultation to determine SIP support for a request. It's very qualified, we have to understand that, but that's the big change. In 4.614, the evaluation of SIP input for delegation or redelegation requests should be based on relevant government or public authority input and the results of the public consultation. And IANA reports on delegations and redelegations should, in order to be effective in communicating the information, be consistent and should include the results of IANA's evaluation of SIP support for the request. And I am done, sir. We've done a high-level go-through, and I see Nigel has his hand up.
Yes, Nigel. Unmute, Nigel.
Hello, unmute.
Yes, you're unmuted.
I'm unmuted. I was double muted. Shame Chris has gone. I'm sure he's had something interesting to say about that comment. High-level comment again, and it's on the concept of relevant government authority. What was the concept? It was relevant government or public authority.
Yes.
I think we should have an email discussion about this particular aspect, and I'd like to have, again, as I sort of highlighted earlier, a input from our GAC colleagues on this. The expression that we use, relevant government or public authority, that's from RFC 1591, isn't it?
Actually, from the GAC principles.
It's from the GAC principles. Okay, it struck me that this was a Paul Toomey term of art. Now, clearly, there is a relevant government or public authority. But I'll give you an example, and I'm sure it. There are more complicated examples throughout the world. We manage two TLDs. In the case of one of those two TLDs, there are two relevant governments or public authorities. And in the case of the other one, there are four. I'll tell you over a beer if you ever want to know what they are and why. But and these are governments in the sense of governments, not just the distinction between the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Communications and the Ministry of this. These are governments with the ability to pass primary legislation and executive in the traditional sense of the word when you analyze governments. Now, the issue is that in some countries, somebody comes along and says, we are the government, and a typical example that comes to mind at the moment is Libya. The government of Libya some 6 weeks ago was Colonel Gaddafi. So there are edge cases, and if we define the terms that we use very precisely and allow for a various number of different models throughout the world, we will avoid our successors in 10 years' time cursing us the way, to some extent, we look at the drafters of RFC 5091 and say, well, we haven't said it in quite that way. But that's just presaging the high-level discussion. Hope that's of some use.
Yeah, I think that, as Benny said, this is one of the issues that we see as needing some debate. And just between Bernie and I, we continue to bang our heads together on public authority. You know, in New Zealand, or I think Bernie started with the phrase local authority, but in New Zealand and other places, public authority or local authority tends to indicate the local town or village council.
Well, that's interesting, Keith, because local authority in the UK means exactly what you see it to mean in New Zealand. Public authority in the UK is a term of art, a legal term of art, which means an emanation of the state. In other words, it could even be a private company. I know that sounds kind of contradictory, but the example is they use private companies to lock people up in England, you know, before they've been convicted. But they're obviously acting as agents of the state or state actors, so they are regarded as a public authority in human rights law terms.
Yeah.
So one thing we've got to be careful of is being divided by a common language.
Yes, absolutely, and that's the issue here. And then, you know, looking at things like the Tokelau's, which don't have a government, they're governed sort of by New Zealand, but not a self-governing state. You know, you could use the word territorial authority quite appropriately.
Yeah, there's a term of art in the Channel Islands and the Isle of Man, which is the insular authorities.
Yeah, so it's coming up, without getting into the semantics, I think coming up with a satisfactory phrase that encapsulates the concept of the government or authority.
Of course, any of all of those could be relevant.
Yes, indeed.
And for different things.
Yeah. And not to be ambiguous so that you don't have town or village councils thinking they actually have a role to play.
Yeah, but for example, I mean, we're now looking at new GTLD stuff, but new GTLD stuff, they probably do.
If it's
a TLD that purports to represent the town or country town or county concerned.
Oh, absolutely. But in this instance, we're talking about CCTLD delegations and re-delegations. Anyway, I think this is a point that we will need to labour over.
Has anybody thought that we're doing a framework of interpretation, the effects of which could stretch into GTLD land? Because RFC 1591 is policy that is valid for GTLDs as well?
one would imagine that if we can come up with a robust framework, that it may have some applicability or use in developing a framework.
That's, I would put it no further than that, but I think that's what I was trying to say.
Okay. Well, look, thank you, Benny, for a quick look through that document. And I think it probably will be helpful as people get to digest it. And having had a look through, thank you for the observations along the way. Benny and I will do a little bit more editing and getting rid of some of the typos and bits and pieces and taking into account what's happened on the call, and we'll get that out to you very quickly so that we can discuss that on our next call on the 6th of October. And is there any other business, Nigel? Is your hand still up or is it up again? Gone. Okay, if there's no other business, our next meeting is in a couple of weeks' time, and many of us will be in Nairobi for the IGF next week, so if you're there, I'll catch up with you. If not, we'll meet again on the 6th of October. Thanks all for your participation. Nothing else before we close? Okay, I'll declare the meeting closed, and thank you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Keith.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.